let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to coast, This Week in America. Research shows that our digital habits are radically changing our mental capacities and emotional lives. We're only just beginning to understand the consequences of our modern addiction to smartphones, PCs, and other devices. In the book Intelligence in the Digital Age, How the Search for Something Larger May Be Imperiled, education expert Lynn Lesh takes a close look at the impacts of our digital age. Packed with research, scholarship, and the latest findings on human intelligence, Lynn asserts that we're paying a steep price for our nonstop, all-access digital world. And he describes the profound changes that digital technologies are having on our attention, intelligence, creativity, and human relationship. After founding and directing his own democratically run school for children ages 6 to 14 for 12 years, one that received widespread attention in the Chicago area as a unique approach to education, Lynn has written four books on education reform, all of them emphasizing the importance of what occurs inside a young person while they learn. He has a lifelong interest in pursuing a larger consciousness. And Lynn Lesh, author of Intelligence in the Digital Age, How the Search for Something Larger May Be Imperiled, is our guest on This Week in America. Lynn, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you for having me, Rick.
Looking forward to talking about this book. And we live in the digital age, and most of us think what a great time to be alive, information at our fingertips. But there are consequences of the information overload, aren't they? You point out some things that we all need to be aware of as we're totally reliant, it seems like, on digital technology.
Yeah, the four things that I kind of worry me as I started studying this whole issue is one, because the internet is such a great interruption machine. You jump all around from website to website, from text message to website, link to link, that our own awareness, the way our minds work, is becoming that we're becoming conditioned to have that same jumpy awareness when we try to think. There's also the issue of memory, that we're really using Google and large search engines as our working memory. We're outsourcing our working memory to Google. And because we're doing that, I think we're less able to follow the networks in our brains to ferret out certain information or knowledge that we're interested in. And as a consequence, our memories are beginning to calcify and dry up. They're not as effective simply because we can't follow the networks of thought as effectively that lead to them. And another thing is because our short-term memories are becoming flooded with so much information that they only have a limited storage capacity. Short-term memory does not have a limitless storage capacity like long-term memory. Because our short-term memories become flooded with so much information, they can't then pass all the information they need to our long-term memories. And our long-term memories is what we use to not only think intelligently about our world, but to ferret out relevant from relevant information, which means we're less able to focus and we don't have that capacity. And the last thing that this concerns me is because people are staring into a plastic screen so much of the day and staring at a virtual image, that virtual image is not going to affect them at the same level as their real life experiences. So I'm concerned that people might become conditioned to have a shell or emotive life because they're used to having that online, and then it's possible they carry that over to their real life experiences. So I think all those things they're significant. I mean, if we can't follow the stream of our thoughts effectively, we can't really think rationally. And if we don't have the capacity to use our working memories the way we need to do that, then we don't have that. And then when we can't separate relevant from relevant information because our long-term memory is affected, we can't really focus as effectively. Those are the things that are what intelligence is. So there's a possibility that our overall intelligence as humans is being affected by this.
You know, the book is Intelligence in the Digital Age. Lynn Lesh is the author and our guest. Lynn is L-Y-N, Lesh, L-E-S-C-H. His website is lynnlesh.com. The book's available at all the usual places. And if you go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, you can link on directly, get information on the book. Let's talk about the research, and I mentioned that in the beginning. It's packed with research, scholarship, and the latest findings on human intelligence. These are just not your thoughts, your opinions on what may be happening. This is backed with research. Were you surprised when you started doing the research and understanding the long-term negative impact, the price, the steep price we're paying for our addiction to the digital age?
No, this is becoming more and more a reality in our life as neuroscientists, psychologists, learning theorists are becoming hip to this, that they're seeing exactly what the internet is doing to our working memories, our attention spans, thought presses, and everything. The thing that concerns me that might be a little bit different than some of those people, I think that because we're losing some of these capacities, those people who are interested in doing so are going to be less able to explore a larger consciousness. Because if you're going to explore a larger consciousness, which exists on the other side of thought and memory, you've got to first have full access to your thoughts and your memories. It would be like an astronomer exploring the universe who doesn't have access to a good telescope. So there is out there now where many neuroscientists, cognitive theorists are becoming aware of just what the internet is doing to us. My contention is, though, there's a much larger price to be paid than just, you know, our attention isn't what it needs to be. Our working memories aren't as good. I think it's possible that over time, the internet is going to affect not only our overall intelligence, but our capacity to explore a larger intelligence.
Lynn Lesh, our guest on the program, his book is Intelligence in the Digital Age. Book is available at Lynn's website, the usual places. Again, we'll give you those at the end of the program again, and you can link on directly by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. You think of information overload maybe as just being a distraction, but I can handle that. It's more than that, isn't it? You really document in your book, Intelligence in the Digital Age, that there are some long-term consequences on our memory, for example, because of this overload.
Yeah, it's just when you don't, before Google and all the search engines came to call, when we couldn't remember something, we would try to go back in our mind and follow our thoughts to ferret that out of, you know, where that network of thought would lead. But now nobody does that. You can't remember something. You've got the phone right in your pocket. All you got to do is go to Google and it comes right up. It means you're not using those same networks of thought to ferret that information out, which means those networks of thought are drying up and they're calcifying, where we're no longer going to have access to them. That's a long-term dynamic. Once your networks of thought dry up and you haven't used them for a long period of time, they're probably gone. So that's a real consideration as far as our stream of thoughts, because we're, you know, becoming so conditioned to how the internet works to blend that with how our own thoughts work. Our stream of thoughts can't follow a thought to its point of conclusion as well as it used to, which means we can't think as rationally as well as we used to. So, and I think these are going to be long-term consequences. Memory, rational thought, and ability to focus, those are going to become long-term consequences to not just those specific dynamics, but our actual intelligence as human beings.
So there is a connection between digital technologies and this digital age we're living in and brain function. It does have an impact, you're saying, on brain function.
Yeah, that's something that is just being really studied. I'm not really qualified to speak on the physiological aspects. I know that you know, as people are searching for the latest text message they're getting, or email, or searching for Twitter or Facebook, there's what's called a variable racial reinforcement, where when they're doing that, their brains become flooded with dopamine. A number of neuroscientists have studied this. And when that happens, of course, dopamine is an important neurotransmitter. It'll focus. But also, if it becomes like a drug that floods somebody's brain, then somebody wishes, you know, you're going to want to seek that over and over again. And as a result of that, you're going to become more addicted to the internet because that dopamine is a pleasurable experience. And I think that's what happens a lot. People go to the only the websites they know will confirm their point of view, or they'll go to some site that will give them credence for what they just said, and they'll go there before they check out any opposing ideas, because they get their fix sooner from from the internet. Yes. And the internet is a very addictive thing. It's interactive, it's immediate, it can confirm your own ideas very quickly. So that too, I know people have written about this too, that the internet is just the perfect interruption machine, but it's also the perfect addiction machine. Nicholas Carr, who wrote the book The Shallows, How the Internet is Affecting Our Brains, has written on this at length, how the internet is just affecting our brains at an addictive level.
You know, it's interesting. Talk about how our memories are actually being reshaped as we work online. I mean, as you're reading this, all this information, research, and laid out in Lynn's book, Intelligence in the Digital Age, how the search for something larger may be imperiled. Talk about that, because there is an impact on our memories as we spend time working online.
Yeah, as I just said, if you are just ferreting out information and knowledge from a third-party source, a Google search engine or another larger search engine, you're not following the networks of thought in your brain that lead to that same information or that same knowledge. And because you're not doing that, those things are not going to be as accessible anymore. They're not going to be there just through lack of use. I'm concerned if the Google and the other search engines are very much becoming like our brain's external hard drive. I think that we just go to when we need some information or some knowledge, and we're not using those networks and those neuronal networks in our brain as much as we have in the past to ferret out information and knowledge. It means they're not going to be there anymore. They're going to just dry up and calcify through lack of use.
Well, how about creativity? I mentioned that in the beginning, and you talk a lot about that. That's one of the areas impacted by the information overload, the addiction to the technology that's available. That has an impact on our creativity, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think that part of that has to do with the fact that people are staring into a screen so long and accessing only a virtual image rather than having as many experiences in the real world. And because they're doing that, those real world experiences tend to not have the same emotive depth as they would, if you weren't going to the internet to access them regularly. It's so I think that because of this, our real world experiences are beginning to dull, because we're getting a more dulled apprehension of the world online, and then we carry that over to our lives in the real world, and one will be less creative if one doesn't have full access to their emotive life as it was before the internet came to call.
As we're hearing this, and as you're reading the book Intelligence in the Digital Age by Lynn Lesch, our guest on the program, that's LynLesch, we're thinking, okay, what can we do to minimize this? What can we do to eliminate it? You focus a lot on what you call achieving a quiet mind. Talk about a quiet mind and how we can achieve it.
Yeah, I have some ideas what people can do as far as, this whole internet addiction. One thing I think would be really important to do is when you go online and you're going to some link or some site and you've ferreted out some information or some knowledge, don't just follow it to the next link. Walk away from the computer temporarily and just think about what you've just apprehended online. Take that in fully before you go back to your digital device and go to another link. Don't just jump from link to link. Actually walk away from the phone or the internet after you've downloaded something to fully take in what you've just apprehended. And that will really help your stream of thoughts, your working memory, et cetera. And of course, when you can't remember something, occasionally try not just jumping to Google or to another search engine. See if you can go back in your brain and think about what where that information might be, what certain networks might lead to it. See if you can follow those there. And something else I think can be done that can kind of interact what the internet is doing is to make time each day to sit down and quietly follow the stream of your thoughts. See where they might lead, because we're getting away from that by being, you know, getting into the whole jumpy, fragmented interruption machine that is the internet. So take time to just simply sit quietly and follow your thoughts. And I think another thing is I'm a big fan of bound books as opposed to ebooks. I think bound, when you read with a bound book, you have an embodied experience. You're really physically in touch with what you're reading. And whereas if you go to an e-reader, yeah, you're going to get the same information and knowledge, but it's not that same physical connection, I don't believe, with the information as if you have a bound book. And as far as a quiet mind, I think what's important about a quiet mind is simply that it'll when your mind becomes quieter, it allows something larger to maybe come to call. And I think if when we realize that over time that our thoughts, you know, not going to give us security, they're not going to give us freedom from fear, and we run around in those same corners in our mind constantly, eventually we realize that's not going to work. And then just that realization, I think, causes our minds to become quieter. And I think a quiet mind is a key to, if there's a larger consciousness there, to accessing that.
Lynn Lesh is our guest on the program. His book is Intelligence in the Digital Age, How the Search for Something Larger May Be Imperiled. Have to take a break. So much more. We'll be back with Lynn right after these messages. We're back. You're listening to This Week in America. Thank you for joining us. Our guest on the program is Lynn Lesh. He's the author of Intelligence in the Digital Age, How the Search for Something Larger May Be Imperiled. Lynn, your background is in education and dealing with young people. I want to, as we're talking here, I'm thinking about, okay, I've got long-term memory. I've got decades of long-term memory. Hopefully still be there for a while. What's the impact on a younger person that has grown up with them? They could be 6, 7 years old, and they're in the digital age, and they have access to devices all over the place. Are you concerned about what impact long-term that will have on young people?
Yeah, because their brains and their emotive life and their cognitive life is developing. That's going to condition them even more. I do think there's one saving grace as far as young people. I really think if given a choice between other children, real life experiences, and sitting at a computer, a lot of kids are going to choose real life, are going to choose to want to be with other kids. I saw that at my school a lot. You know, that I was a very open learning environment. Kids had freedom of movement throughout the day. They could determine their own curriculum. And most of the kids there, given a choice between interacting with other children, seeing what they're up to, and sitting at a computer, they chose other children. So I think that's one thing about kids. They're not quite as prone to be addicted to the internet as we are as adults. However, at the same time, like I said, their brains, their emotive lives, their cognitive life, all of that is still forming. So it can be more easily conditioned, of course.
Everybody seems to have a shorter attention span. And obviously, we can blame that back on what we're going through in the digital age. Talk about the impact of that, because it's very difficult to hold the thought, sometimes difficult to follow through on a project.
Yeah, I think it's you, like I said, you want to make a point. If you take time each day to simply follow your thoughts, if you have a project, don't just go to the internet for help. Follow your thoughts where they might lead as far as a solution to your project. Use the internet kind of as an adjunct to what you're doing as much as you can. Try to work creatively to think things through where your project's going, what it's about, et cetera, rather than just simply jumping to the internet for a solution. I think that will help a lot.
A lot of great information in the book on short-term memories, and of course that leads to long-term memories. Talk about information overload, and it's maybe preventing us from building short-term memories.
Our short-term memory, like I said, doesn't have the same amount of storage capacity as our long-term memory. So what happens when people go online, it's kind of like a glass of water that somebody's pouring water into, and again, it overflows and it can't take anything else in. And then that's what happens as we try to take in more and more information with our short-term memories. It reaches a point where we can't take in any more information effectively. And then when that happens, it can't pass that information to our long-term memories. And our long-term memories is what we use to think intelligently about the world. It's what we use to ferret out irrelevant from relevant information. It's what allows us to focus. So information overload doesn't just have an effect on our short-term memory. More significantly, it affects our long-term memory and our ability to focus on the world and decide what's important to us and what is not.
You talk about potential negative effects of our current internet age on our apprehension, appreciation, comprehension of great art and literature. Talk about that, because there are some long-range complications here you might not even think about. What is the impact that has on the way we look at great art and literature?
Well, one thing, let's just take a writer like Dostoevsky, writes those incredible novels. If you're not able to follow your stream of thoughts effectively, I don't know how you could work your way through an incredible work like that and really follow it and enjoy it and take it to its conclusion. So I think that itself, the fact that our short-term memories are being affected on the internet is going to affect over time our capacity to read that kind of great literature, or also to read the stream of consciousness writers, Jack Kerouac, Virginia Woolf, Henry Miller, to be able to follow them, you need to have full access to your stream of your stream of thoughts first. And then I think there's also the fact that, like I said, because we're looking at virtual images so much of the time inside a plastic screen, and then that carries over to our real lives. Our emotive lives, I think, are becoming dulled, and you're not going to be able to look at a painting by Cezanne or listen to Bob Dylan or whatever if your emotive life is at all dulled. I worry about that because people are looking at sterile images on plastic screens, they're willing to accept a lessened version of their emotive life when they return to the real world, and that definitely affects art.
I got a couple minutes left in the program. I've mentioned addiction several times in talking about smartphones, PCs, and other devices. Do most people even realize they're at least on the doorstep of an addiction to these devices, because we rely on them so much? Maybe we don't even think of it as an addiction.
I don't think so. I think a lot of people may think that, okay, I'm addicted to my smartphone, but they don't think of the long-term implications of what this is doing to their overall intelligence and memory and thoughts and capacity to think rationally in their emotive lives. I don't think many people are tuned into what it's doing at that level. I don't think so. I think that's a real issue, that people aren't thinking deeply enough about what the internet and their obsessive use of digital devices is doing to them, because they would be more alarmed. I think most people, it's just at the level, oh yeah, I'm addicted to my smartphone, and what would I do without my phone? So, but this really has to do with, this is beyond just apprehension of digital technology. This has to do with how one apprehends life at a deeper level. If one is interested in exploring a larger awareness while one is in the world, then one has to be concerned about what the internet might be doing to their capacity to do that. But if you don't have a concern about that in the first place, then your smartphone is something you're not going to let go of anytime soon.
Well, no. And it's interesting, we can at least re-examine, sort of reevaluate, and you lay out a well-documented case for re-examining what may be an over-reliance on the digital world. It's an incredibly well-done book, again, backed by research. The book is Intelligence in the Digital Age, How the Search for Something Larger May Be Imperiled. Lynn Lesch is the author. That's LynLesch. His website is lynlesch.com. The book's available, of course, wherever books are sold. You can find books, information on Lynn and his book and other books by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Link on directly there to Lynn's information. Lynn, a pleasure having you on the program. Thank you so much for sharing some time with us today.
Thank you, Rick.
It's been our pleasure. Intelligence in the Digital Age, the author Lynn Lesh, our guest on the program. Information, of course, on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.